Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Veach takes over as Public Information Officer for Sheriff's Office by Royal McGregor. For the last month, Charlie Veach has been slowly settling into his new role at the Ector County Sheriff's Office. The 52-year-old Odessa native was selected to be the public information officer for ECSO after Gary Disler spent the previous 20 years in that position. Veach said he keeps learning as each week passes, especially in the field of social media, and he explained that he isn't afraid to reach out to Disler if he has any questions. "I text and call Disler all the time," Veach said with a smile. "He does the same thing. He texts me every 3 or 4 days to make sure I'm okay." Veach graduated from Odessa High School in 1986 and has worked for ECSO for a total of 28 years. The first 11 years Veach spent on the ECSO staff, he was a reserve deputy. He said his paying job while he was in the reserve was at Oberkampf Supply. Veach said he was continually pulled in the direction of becoming a non-reserve deputy. "Moving over here was probably the best thing I ever did," he said. Veach has been a non-reserve deputy for the past 17 years, and for about the last 10 years, Disler was his sergeant. On July 30th, Veach was one of 5 applicants vying for Disler's position. He was interviewed in the morning, and before he left for the day, he was offered the job. "Once he gets his feet good and wet in his new position, I think he will do fantastic," Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said. "We look forward to many years to come of letting the public know what's going on at the sheriff's office." Veach said he wasn't worried about taking over as public information officer. He said Disler did a great job for 20 years, and he just wants to fill those shoes to continue the duties. Veach also attended a public information officer workshop this past week in McKinney for additional training. "It's going to really give me more insight of what the job is and how to do it," Veach said. "This is going to give me some base guidelines."
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, September 21st, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, "DWIs drop in Midland as bars remain closed," by Caitlin Randall. Arrests in Midland for driving while intoxicated have declined year over year since the pandemic began and bars were closed through a state order. But DWIs and public intoxication charges remain the most prevalent cause for arrest. The number of DWIs has dropped by 28% during the pandemic compared to the same time last year. There were 152 DWIs from March to August of 2020 and 212 DWIs over the same months in 2019, according to numbers provided by the Midland Police Department. The number of DWIs per month has stayed between 20 and 30 throughout the pandemic, with 30 DWI charges in March and 23 DWIs in August. Arrest reports from the Middle County Sheriff's Office, however, show DWIs and public intoxication charges continue to be the most common cause for arrest in the county. Mark Troschenitz, a substance abuse counselor and founder of Selmar Counseling in Midland and Odessa, said he's seen a higher number of people seeking treatment for substance abuse since the start of the pandemic. "Even with the bars closed, people are cooped up indoors and drinking just as much, if not more so, because they're suffering from cabin fever," he said. "Midland has a unique problem with drinking that aligns with its volatile economy," Trushinit said. "When times are good, there's an influx of extra people to town, and the younger generation, they tend to party with all that money they're making," he said. "But then when it bottoms out, they tend to drink twice as much, because they've just accumulated so much stuff and so much debt, and all of a sudden they find out they can't afford it anymore." The increase in people seeking treatment for substance abuse during the pandemic because of layoffs and economic strain is consistent with other times when the oil market has crashed, Trushinet said. He said most people who find themselves drinking a little more than usual likely don't need intensive therapy at a treatment facility. For those who want to curtail their alcohol intake, he recommended replacing drinking with something more positive, such as quality time with family, a hobby, or self-care. And for those who are struggling with drinking to the point of having it a significant impact on their lives, Trushinet said a family member may need to broach the subject first. He said those who are abusing alcohol often don't realize it's a problem until it's pointed out to them. Even if people struggling with drinking don't think it's become a problem, Trushinet recommended correcting the behavior before it becomes a habit. I'll have people who are struggling with their relationship and struggling with their job, and they say, it's not that big of a deal. I just have so much free time on my hands, he said. And they're slowly walking the path of an alcoholic and don't realize it. So even if it's not that bad yet, if it's definitely headed that direction, they might as well do something about it now before it gets way worse. This article is entitled Landgraf Expects Challenging Legislative Session by Mella McEwen. In January, members of the Texas legislature will gather for the biennial session, expecting to confront the challenges stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic and the slowdown in the oil and gas economy. This will be my fourth session. It's 4 months out, and I can say will be far most challenging I've ever been part of, State Representative Brooks Landgraf said during the weekly Oilfield Strong webinar presented by OTA Compression, OTA Environmental, Chimark, and the Permian Basin Petroleum Association. We are not going to have much money. There will probably be less revenue coming in as we write the state budget, and we are going to have redistricting because of census data, the Odessa Republican said. We're obligated to redraw districts for the House and Senate, as well as the congressional delegation. It can be acrimonious as well. Things are highly politicized. The partisan divide may come a bit closer. It looks like a perfect storm, a confluence of events that will make for a difficult and challenging session for those reasons, and probably more that will materialize before then. Landgraf said legislatures need to set priorities. We know we won't snap our fingers and at the end of the session make Texas look how we want. We need to focus on what's important and ensure we spend the money we do have in smart ways. Invest in long-term things that are important. Transportation, infrastructure, and education. Take care of first things first and set up for future success later on. When it comes to energy policy, he said, I believe Texas does it better than anywhere else in the country. It's the legislature, but also great leadership at the Railroad Commission. I hope we maintain that strong leadership on the commission, the knowledge, experience, and expertise at the commission, and the legacy of good oil and gas policies from the legislature. We have that down pretty well. We're mindful of the changes or proposed changes and try to be prepared for those. Part of my job and of others that represent energy-producing areas, is to ensure our colleagues from other parts of the state understand the industry and the people who work in the industry and their importance to the entire state, Landgraf said. Out of 150 members in the House, he said only 16 represent areas west of Interstate 35, and they have to make the case to their colleagues that what happens in the Permian Basin can affect, for example, the petrochemical and refining complexes along the Gulf Coast. That's why Landgraf said it's important to press for investment in Permian Basin needs, such as strong road infrastructure, housing, education, and healthcare. The current downturn is a wonderful time to make those investments before the industry comes back. One way is Grow Texas Fund, which Tom Craddock, the dean of not just the Permian Basin delegation, but the House, and I worked on last session. It's something we're looking to do this next session. The Grow Texas Fund would redirect state revenues back to energy-producing areas, investing in roads, public safety, and education needs. We want to make sure whatever is proposed, we're successful with whatever we do. But generally speaking, the idea is not to raise taxes, Landgraf said. I believe we have the resources available. We always have. It's prioritizing how we actually distribute the benefits the oil and gas industry produces. The oil and gas industry produces and has produced billions and billions in tax revenues for the state. Specifically, the severance tax the state has levied on oil and gas production for decades now. Landgraf said that money is spent on the highway fund, the school fund, and the economic stabilization fund, or the rainy day fund, which he called a very robust piggy bank for Texas. It's funded entirely through oil and gas severance taxes. That money is entirely thanks to the oil and gas industry, he said. It, in various ways, has helped the entire state of Texas, and that's good. That's its primary purpose. But when normal times resume and things economically get back to where they were, if the rainy day fund has a sufficient balance to maintain a high bond rating, which typically we have, and the needs in state are met, rather than add to the fund, which doesn't bear interest, we can be smarter and more strategic about using it. He suggested dedicating a portion of the severance taxes towards something that would have a more immediate impact on Texas residents. Take a moderate percentage of severance tax revenues and reinvest in producing areas of the state to ensure there are no shortcomings in infrastructure in the oil patch, so there's enough education opportunities, workforce training, healthcare opportunities, and yes, broadband, Landgraf said. So yes, it's a good place to produce oil, but also a good place to live, work, and raise a family. If that happens in places like the Permian or Eagle Ford, any place that produces oil and gas, if you want to keep fueling the Texas miracle, producing areas have to be safe places to do that and places conducive to having all that's needed to produce oil and gas. Landgraf said that at the beginning of the year, Permian Basin unemployment hovered around 3.4%. Now, as recently as July, it was 12.6%, down slightly from the peak of 14% reached in April. This has been a tough time for industry, a tough time for people in Permian Basin. It's almost a tougher time for us in the oil patch than anywhere else in the country, he said. We're all experiencing challenges. It's the people of the Permian Basin. We have experience weathering these types of storms, maybe not this complexion, but we know how to hunker down, weather down the storm. In talking with industry and people in the Permian Basin, activity just below surface taking place will allow us to emerge as strong as ever when the time is right.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Monday, September 21, 2020. Annual Wellness Tour goes virtual. The 6th Annual Wellness Tour is going virtual Tuesday through Saturday at the Midland Memorial Hospital Facebook page. This Health and Wellness Week is produced in part by Midland Health, the City of Midland, Keep Midland Beautiful, and Midland ISD. For a schedule of events and other information, visit MidlandWellnessTour.com. Library has Wizard of Oz Route 66 exhibits. The Midland County Public Library Centennial Branch will be hosting Wizard of Oz educational exhibit through December 19, and the downtown branch will display America's Road, the journey of Route 66, through January 4. The Oz exhibit is based on the Warner Brothers film and features movie elements such as Dorothy's Ruby Slippers, Munchkin Land, The Witch's Castle, and Emerald City, according to a press release from MCPL. America's Road includes photographs, large-scale replicas, and panels, and an original 1965 Ford Mustang that is parked inside the walkway near the library entrance. The 2,448-mile stretch of asphalt crosses through 8 states from the Midwest to the Pacific Coast and draws thousands of travelers each year. The exhibits will be cleaned multiple times a day, and visitors must wear masks or face coverings. The branches are open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. weekdays and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays. Meetings today: Planning and Zoning, 3:30. Council Chambers, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Midland ISD, 5:30 p.m., Bowie Fine Arts Academy, 805 Elk Avenue. League to help register voters. Members of the League of Women Voters of Midland will be at the Midland County Annex on October 5 to assist residents who want to register to vote or update their registration if they have moved. October 5 is the deadline to register or update registration in Texas for the November 3 election. residents of Midland County can register in person at the Midland County elections. Mail-in application must be postmarked no later than October 5. Also, the deadline to request a ballot by mail is October 23. Early voting period is October 13 through 30. Go to votetexas.org or vote411.org for more information. Firefighters doing virtual fill the boot. The International Association of Firefighters and Professional Firefighters Association of Midland, Local 4405, are doing a virtual fill the boot, which will take the place of the annual in-person campaign for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Instead of placing donations in boots held up by Midland firefighters at intersections across Midland, residents can donate at filltheboot.donordrive.com/participant/Midland. The virtual campaign continues through the end of the year, said Greg Wells with Midland Local 4405. Their goal is $5,000, according to the website. Grocery store hours during coronavirus. United Supermarket, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., 1002 Andrews Highway. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday, 3317 North Midland Drive. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday, HEB, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Customers 60 plus. Orders can be called in 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 833-397-0080. Groceries will be delivered by Favor Delivery. For more information, go to newsroom.heb.com. Market Street, 6 a.m. to midnight. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Walmart, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. 7 to 8 a.m. curbside delivery pickup for first responders and customers 60 plus with disabilities or at risk. Salvation Army to sign up angels. Salvation Army of Midland soon will be signing up children 12 and younger for the annual Angel Tree. Parents or legal guardians would need to provide valid ID, children's birth certificates, and proof of income. Signups will be 9 a.m. to noon and 1 to 4 p.m. October 5 through 16 at 600 East Wall Street. For more information, call 683-3614. Today in Texas history. In 1989, 21 students in Alton died when their school bus, hit by a soft drink delivery truck, careened into a water-filled pit. Today in history. Today's Monday, September 21, the 265th day of 2020. There are 101 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On September 21, 1981, the Senate unanimously confirmed the nomination of Sandra Day O'Connor to become the first female justice on the Supreme Court. On this date, in 1970, NFL Monday Night Football made its debut on ABC TV as the Cleveland Browns defeated the visiting New York Jets 31-21.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, September 21st. Blended Learning Coordinator Taking on New Frontiers. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. A self-paced form of learning called blended learning is implemented on some Ector County ISD campuses, and Andrea Messick, the coordinator, is leading the way. Blended learning is a tie between traditional learning in a brick-and-mortar location and learning online with some type of student control over the time and pace you're learning at, Messick said. A Dumas native, Messick earned a bachelor's in general studies and a master's in educational leadership from West Texas A&M University in Canyon. She taught at Coronado Elementary in Amarillo and Cactus Elementary for 7 years and was the assistant principal at Lamar Early Education Center for 2 years and assistant principal at Alamo STEAM Academy for a year before that. Messick said she had heard some things about blended learning in the past. When she saw the blended learning coordinator position posting, she wondered if it would be a good fit for her. Quote, "So I reached out to Lauren Tavares, Director of Instructional Technology, and asked her a little bit more about it. Then I just started praying really hard about whether or not it was something that I wanted to apply for," Messick said. She prayed, and thought about it for several days before deciding to apply. She interviewed for the spot, and about a week later she got the job. Messick's son, who is in first grade, attends Hayes Steam Academy. Quote, "He is well above grade level, but in some settings he might be limited to first grade work. Blended learning is all based on data, so it's a one-size-fits-one-kid model, rather than it being one-size-fits-the-whole classroom. With blended learning being completely based on data, you might have a first-grade student who's able to work on third-grade Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, because he's mastered everything he would need for first and second grade. Likewise, you might have a sixth grader who missed some Texas in third grade, and they're just falling behind every year, and they've not caught up. So with blended learning, you're able to take his data and say in sixth grade math and go back down to exactly what he needs to close those gaps and see that growth," Messick said. She added that there's no limit to how much a student can learn because they're able to progress at their own pace. If a student hasn't caught up in math, they can use the Teach to One program at one of three middle schools, Bonham, Bowie, and Wilson and Young, to master those skills. Quote, "A student may not end up finishing all the sixth grade content work, but he's improved all the way from where he was with the third grade content, and improved so much so by the time he goes to the next grade level, he'll be closer to being on grade level. It can go either way, which is a beautiful thing," Messick said. Messick has always wanted to be in education in some form. In fourth grade, she really wanted to be a PE teacher because she had such a good one in elementary school in Dumas. Quote, "I wanted to be just like Miss Cecil. She was my everything. I looked up to her so much, so fast forward I started out teaching elementary PE, so I got to fulfill that little dream and be like her in that way," Messick said. But she decided teaching PE wasn't what she was truly meant to do. Quote, "Because I knew that with my talents and my drive, I could do more to benefit students in a bigger district as well. One of my principals up there in Cactus, he just kind of lit that fire under me and said, 'Messick, you need to do something else because you're too good to not benefit more people. You're too good to just stay in PE, basically.' So he kind of lit that fire for me, and I thought maybe he sees something in me that I had not considered. He was really the one that inspired me to get my administrative certification and master's degree," she said. Tavares said Messick has been an awesome addition to the district and brings a lot of excitement to the direction ECISD continues to move in blended learning. Quote, "She works really well with both the Instructional Technology Department and the Curriculum and Instruction Department, which is exactly what we have to have with blended learning, a balance of both things," Tavares said in a text message. Messick said Tavares and the other technology staff have been very helpful and welcoming. Quote, "Lauren, of course, has shown me the ropes, and any question I have, I can go straight to her. She's very open and positive and doesn't make me feel that I'm asking a dumb question whenever something might come up," Messick said. She added that she has begun meeting remotely with people in other cities about the program. Hayes and Pease Elementary Schools have received the Raising Blended Learners grant. Blended learning, she said, is more effective if students are on campus. She added that her job will include coaching teachers and meeting with administrators to support them. Quote, "I think that we're getting in at the right time as a district. I think people are already watching our district and seeing everything we're doing and praising Superintendent Dr. Scott Murray and seeing just how far we've come. I think it's going to catch on like wildfire, not only throughout our district as it grows, but I can see it happening across the state as well," Messick said. She has developed a blended learning website, Twitter and Facebook pages, and Instagram that resources will be pushed through. Quote, "The website will have explanation and we'll have an area where there are resources and books that we've read that we can recommend, and just different things that people can start going to, Messick said. There is a 30-hour You Teach Blended Learning, the Foundations of Blended Learning course through the University of Texas at Austin. There is a list of people who have completed the course, so teachers can look to co-workers for help. Quote, there's going to be a form on there as well that says, hey, I learned about blended learning. I want to know more, and I'm interested in the 30-hour blended learning course. They can fill out the form, and I can see who's interested, and I will contact them and see about getting them through the process, Messick said. Life lessons. Monahan's veteran celebrates milestone birthday. The story was written by Michael Bauer. Buford Humphreys is one of the few people who can still talk about growing up during the Great Depression. He is also one of few people who has served in 3 different wars, flying in numerous aircraft, and becoming a colonel before retiring from the Air Force. On Sunday, the Monahan's resident, who celebrated his 98th birthday with his family, talked about his experiences and his lessons to a long, happy life. Quote, you have to have the time and determination to continue no matter what the situation is, Humphreys said. Humphreys joined the military in 1941, just after the attack on Pearl Harbor, which thrust the U.S. into World War II. He still remembers learning about the events that fateful day on December 7, 1941. Quote, when I had finished eating lunch, I stepped outside and heard the news from a car radio, and that's how I knew that they had attacked Pearl Harbor, Humphreys said. That led to the start of a 29-year career in the military for Humphreys. During World War II, Humphreys flew B-24s, serving as a squadron navigator in the 392nd Bomb Squadron. He was with the 19th Bomb Wing in Korea, flying in B-29s in the Korea War, and in Vietnam commanded the 773rd Troop Carrier Squadron, flying C-130s. During his time in the Air Force, Humphreys was able to graduate from the University of Texas at Austin in 1957. Humphreys retired in 1971 with the rank of colonel and was base commander at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. Though born in West, over by Waco, Humphreys has lived most of his life over in West Texas, including El Paso, Odessa, Monahans, and Littlefield, where he graduated from high school in 1939. He summarized what it was like growing up in the Great Depression with one word, tough, he said before laughing. Quote, but all of us were in the same boat. Everybody was short on everything, clothing. It was a very hard time, but we made it. End quote. He's lived in Monahan since 2010 and has 4 children, 1 son and 3 daughters, as well as 4 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. He's been married twice. His first wife, Dorothy, passed away in 1994. His second wife, Polly, passed away 4 years ago. As he reflects on his life, Humphreys says the most important lesson is to have a goal, no matter how far it may be. Quote, keep in mind that's what keeps you going, Humphreys said. The best way to get by is your mental attitude. End quote. Healthcare is a true calling. This was written by Carol A. Cates, who is the chief nursing officer for Odessa Regional Medical Center. I am of the firm belief that healthcare is a calling. I truly believe most people who work in the healthcare field could probably do something else with the same amount of education and training, often less, and probably make more money and work less hours in the process. There is no position in healthcare that applies to more than the people who work in environmental services. At the close of National Hospital Environmental Services Week, I wanted to say thank you to the amazing environmental service people who choose to come work in hospitals, nursing homes, clinics, and the many other kinds of healthcare facilities every day and keep them clean and safe for the rest of us. In the movie Spinal Tap, the musicians added an 11 to the volume controls on their amplifiers, supposedly allowing them to go one step louder than any other band out there. That is where the saying, "take it to an 11," came from. Healthcare takes the job of environmental services to an 11. While there is always a risk of exposure to germs and body fluids in any environmental services job, few jobs add in those things in the quantity and potential severity that exists in healthcare. Environmental service staff needs to very much understand all sorts of disease conditions and which cleaning agents are used to kill those germs. Not all germs and cleaning agents are created equally, and while infection control standards in healthcare advise on which cleaning agents are used and when, it is up to each individual environmental service staff person to not only use the correct cleaning agent, but to also use it in the right way. Environmental services workers in hospitals don't just have to worry about germs and body fluids, they also must worry about sharps. Sharp injuries are something healthcare organizations try very hard to avoid, but unfortunately, we cannot eliminate sharp objects from the healthcare environment. For instance, needles are used hundreds, even thousands of times a day in individual healthcare facilities. If just one of those is left somewhere it shouldn't be, it poses a risk to the environmental services folks when they are cleaning. Healthcare also deals with hazardous materials, and the environmental services folks are often the first line of defense there as well. While they do all these things, they also interact with patients, hospital staff, and visitors, and do so with kindness and caring. I have seen more than one environmental service person mourn the death of a patient along with the family, or rejoice with patients and families about good news like the birth of a baby or a positive result from testing. The job environmental services workers take on when they come into a healthcare facility is far more than that of the average housekeeper. The environmental service role in healthcare is complex. It is physically and mentally demanding and can be emotionally demanding as well. The choices environmental service workers make as they do their jobs quite literally saves and improves the lives of others. If you work in healthcare, I hope you thank the environmental services folks you work with, not just during Healthcare Environmental Services Week, but every day. The people who do this job also have one other quality. They are very good at hiding in plain sight. They take such care not to interrupt direct patient care while going about their tasks that their work and even their presence at times goes largely unnoticed. That is great in a whole lot of ways, but it also makes it very easy to take their hard work for granted. If you work in healthcare, please make sure you notice the hard work that the environmental services folks do and thank them for the things they do every single day. If you know someone who works in healthcare environmental services, make sure you let them know how much they are appreciated. In a healthcare facility, their job matters. They serve their community every day, just like the doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, lab staff, paramedics, EMTs, and all the other healthcare specialists do. Environmental service workers are very special. If you work in healthcare environmental service, thank you so much for answering the call to work in healthcare. Thank you for keeping all of us safe and keeping our environments clean. You are amazing. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 4,601. Ector County negative, 21,663 out of 26,673 tested, with 409 pending. 92 deaths. Recovered, 3,925. Active cases, 584. Midland County, 3,528 confirmed cases with 81 deaths. Texas, 688,534 confirmed cases with 5,593,488 tested. Total Texas deaths, 14,893. U.S. cases, 6,997,789 total confirmed cases and 204,084 deaths. Find out more online at co.hector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/tctrjlf. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. The Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center has scheduled a legal literacy live stream, Pete Fierro with Legal Aid of Northwest Texas, from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Tuesday at www.facebook.com/pbadultliteracy-center. Fierro will discuss services and resources Legal Aid of Northwest Texas provide. Visit https://events.pbalc.org. Alpine's Art Walk has been scheduled from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. November 20th through 21st in downtown Alpine. 4th, 5th, and 6th Streets will be closed. Art vendor tents will show on 5th and 6th Streets, and Alpine's Gem and Mineral Show will exhibit on 4th Street. This year's honored artist is Tim Roberts, who exhibits his work at Catchlight Gallery in Alpine and The Rare Find in McPherson, Kansas. His work will be featured inside Trans-Pecos Bank and in its parking lot. Admission is free. For more information, call 432-294-1071, info@artwalkalpine.com, or visit www.artwalkalpine.com. Catholics Charities Community Services Odessa, 2500 Andrews Highway, need volunteers for pantry distribution. Distribution times are scheduled from 9 a.m. to noon and from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesdays through Thursdays. For more information on dates and times, call 332-1387. Visit facebook.com/ccodessatx or ccodessa.com.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, September 19, 2020. Obituaries. Judy J. Barton. Judy J. Barton, age 75, of Midland, Texas, passed away September 16, 2020. She was born April 2, 1945, in Midland, Texas, to the late Monroe and Vera May Thurman. Judy married Garland Barton on July 7, 1966, and together they raised three children. For over 20 years, Judy owned the Cubby Hole, located downtown Midland, on Big Spring and Illinois. She loved cooking and reading, especially the Bible. She is survived by her children, John Barton, Sherry Barton of Midland, Texas, Jason Barton of Midland, Texas, and Bobby Joe Barrera, Jose Daniel Barrera Mendoza of Costa Rica. 6 grandchildren, Alyssa Barton, Kelly Gibbs, Carrie Gibbs, Allie Seaman, Cameron Barton, and Chase Barton, as well as 1 great-grandchild, Ellie Seaman. In addition to her children, she is survived by her sisters, Opal Sutton, Betty Henry, Iva Treadway, Mona Maxwell. She is preceded in death by her husband, Garland F. Barton, siblings Tex Thurman, Jack Thurman, Bobby Thurman, and Pauline Thurman. In keeping Judy's wishes, cremation services have been chosen. Arrangements are under the direction of Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Death notices. Jackie L. Kirk. Jackie L. Kirk, 68, of Odessa, passed from this life on September 8, 2020. He was born to the late Jack and Myrna Kirk on July 7, 1952, in Fort Worth, Texas. He is survived by his wife, Brenda Kirk, children Timothy J. Kirk, Misty M. Augustson, and Lindsay M. Kirk, 5 siblings, 7 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. A celebration of life will be held on Saturday, September 19, 2020, 11 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Mary Larson Shackelford. Former Midland resident Mary Larson Shackelford passed away 9/18/2020 at MD Anderson of radiation-induced angiosarcoma. She was a former news reporter at KOSA-TV and director of MOHRE, Midland Odessa Health Retirement Endeavor. Arrangements are pending.
Obituaries for Saturday, September 19th. Ida Mae Legendre Neal. Ida Mae Legendre Neal, 93, passed away September 17th. She was born September 29, 1926, to Gustave Legendre and Adela Meyer Legendre in Thibodaux, Louisiana. She married George Duckworth Neal in 1947 in Thibodaux. Ida is preceded in death by her husband George, her parents, and 9 of her brother and sisters, and a son, Thomas Patrick Neal. She is survived by 3 sons, Mike, Bill, and Richard, and a daughter, Kathy, as well as 4 daughters-in-law, Beth, Pat, Julie, and Joy. She is survived by her sister, Elsie Taylor, and sister-in-law, Shirley Legendre. She is also survived by 10 grandchildren, 10 great-grandchildren, and many nieces and nephews. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, September 21st at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Father Mark Woodruff officiating. To send family condolences, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Cleotilda Sauceda. Cleotilda Sauceda was born June 3rd, 1941, in Zacatecas, Mexico, to Guillermo Carrillo and Maria Felix Ramos, who precede her in death. She married Antonio Sauceda January 10, 1963. She is survived by her husband Antonio, her daughter Irma Sauceda, son Juan Jose Sauceda, and wife Gina Sargoza, daughter Angelica S. Hernandez and husband Rogelio, daughter Rebecca Santesteban and husband Samuel, daughter Enedina S. Fierro and husband Alberto, daughter Antonio Sauceda, 14 grandchildren and 20 great-grandchildren, a brother Roberto Carrillo and wife Lorena, a brother Jose Carrillo and sister Maria Rivero and husband Francisco, as well as many nieces and nephews.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, September 20, 2020. Obituaries. Judy J. Barton. Judy J. Barton, age 75, of Midland, Texas, passed away September 16, 2020. She was born April 2, 1945, in Midland, Texas, to the late Monroe and Vera Mae Thurman. Judy married Garland Barton on July 7, 1966, and together they raised 3 children. For over 20 years, Judy owned the Cubby Hole, located downtown Midland, on Big Spring and Illinois. She loved cooking and reading, especially the Bible. She is survived by her children, John Barton, Sherry Barton of Midland, Texas, Jason Barton of Midland, Texas, and Bobby Joe Barrera, Jose Daniel Barrera Mendoza, of Costa Rica. 6 grandchildren, Alyssa Barton, Kelly Gibbs, Carrie Gibbs, Allie Seaman, Cameron Barton, and Chase Barton, as well as 1 great-grandchild, Ellie Seaman. In addition to her children, she is survived by her sisters, Opal Sutton, Betty Henry, Iva Treadway, Mona Maxwell. She is preceded in death by her husband, Garland F. Barton. Siblings, Tex Thurman, Jack Thurman, Bobby Thurman, and Pauline Thurman. In keeping Judy's wishes, cremation services have been chosen. Arrangements are under the direction of Avalo Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Death Notices. Jackie L. Kirk. Jackie L. Kirk, 68, of Odessa, passed from this life on September 8, 2020. He was born to the late Jack and Myrna Kirk on July 7, 1952, in Fort Worth, Texas. He is survived by his wife, Brenda Kirk, children Timothy J. Kirk, Misty M. Augustin, and Lindsay M. Kirk, 5 siblings, 7 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. A celebration of life will be held on Saturday, September 19, 2020, 11 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Mary Larson Shackelford. Former Midland resident Mary Larson Shackelford passed away 9/18/2020 at MD Anderson of radiation-induced angiosarcoma. She was a former news reporter at KOSA-TV and director of MOHRE, Midland Odessa Health Retirement Endeavor. Arrangements are pending.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Which BP med is the best to prescribe? Dear Dr. Roach, with all the different medications available for high blood pressure, what factors determine the medicine a doctor will prescribe? J.E.P. Answer. The first consideration is whether the person has any other medical conditions that would make a particular medication more advantageous. Someone with diabetes and protein in the urine would benefit greatly from an ACE inhibitor. A person with blockages in the arteries to the heart should be on a beta blocker. Someone with migraines would benefit from a calcium channel blocker or beta blocker. When a practitioner can treat two conditions with one medication, it is usually the first choice. Similarly, if there is a condition that would make a particular antihypertensive inappropriate, the clinician avoids prescribing it. Examples include thiazide diuretics in people with gout and beta blockers in a person with depression. If there is no particular reason to pick a class of drug based on other medical conditions, the most commonly used classes of blood pressure drugs are diuretics, calcium channel blockers, and ACE inhibitors, or their close cousins, angiotensin receptor blockers. A person's degree of high blood pressure and age are other factors. What is equally important as choosing a blood pressure medicine is to evaluate whether it is effective and to monitor for adverse effects. There is tremendous individual variation in the effectiveness of certain medicines. Even race and ethnicity have a small role to play. Further, the initial choice might be based on sound reasons, but if a person can't tolerate it, it needs to be changed.
Friend playing Cupid neglects to mention man's habit. Dear Abby, for Monday, September 21st. Dear Abby, my hairdresser, former neighbor, and friend recommended her unemployed brother to do some minor repairs to my home. He and his sister were trying to push me into a relationship. I am a widow with no children. I have no mortgages, car notes, etc. I'm not wealthy, but I am well set. My hairdresser recently mentioned that her brother was using crack cocaine again. I'm furious that she didn't disclose her brother's addiction sooner. Should I let it go or confront her about this? I really don't want to lose my hairdresser. Styled Right in the South. Dear Styled, you are certainly free to ask your hairdresser why she didn't tell you her brother had a crack habit before recommending him to do repairs in your home. It's a fair question. If nothing is missing and the repairs were done properly, refrain from doing it while you are angry. If you hang on to your temper, there is no reason why your relationship with this woman should end. As to a relationship with her brother, no law says you must have one with him. You don't have to be confrontational, but be less available. As you spend more time with other people, he will get the message. Dear Abby, my son, age 30, is getting a liver transplant soon, and my ex-husband, son's father, refuses to use personal protective equipment in his encounters with others because he thinks his civil liberties are being violated. We don't communicate often because the new wife is a very unpleasant person who took my house away 10 years ago. I'm okay with that because I landed on my feet in a much better situation, but I do not trust her or speak to her. I have left posts on Facebook requesting that those who intend to help my son use PPE for at least 2 weeks before seeing him. So far, my ex has not responded. How can I get him to understand that this is his child and not wearing PPE could kill him? COVID Concerned in Georgia. Dear COVID Concerned, your son's transplant specialist should be asked to send your ex a registered letter explaining the precautions that must be taken if he visits his son and how important they are. I am crossing my fingers that the doctor will do it, but your son must understand that if daddy is unwilling to cooperate, he, your son, not you, is the person who must enforce that rule because he will be immunocompromised and his life depends on it. As much as you might wish to, you cannot police every encounter daddy has with his adult son. Dear Abby, last year, relatives said they would attend a party we were hosting. They didn't come, and we never received any reason why. We had to pay for their dinners. We may see them at an upcoming social event. How should we greet them? Annoyed in Ohio. Dear Annoyed, what your relatives did was rude and inconsiderate. When you see them, say hello and calmly ask why they didn't show up. Be polite, which they weren't, and in the future, remove them from your guest list if their answer doesn't satisfy you.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Virgo and a moon in Scorpio until 2:32 p.m. when the moon enters Sagittarius. Happy birthday for Monday, September 21, 2020. Progressive, super talented, and tasteful, your hard work brings many awards this year. In tune with the times as you are, you make your way through this pandemic successfully, with even some more money. If single, you're attracted to different people and meet someone in May. If attached, your very individualistic mate holds endless appeal for you. You are inseparable this year. Cancer is as loyal as they are quirky. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Today, Mata Hari, you penetrate secrets and know even more about others than they'd ever guess. You feel power and strength through being a bit discreet. Just smile if others accuse you of being secretive. Keep your mystery. Tonight, enjoy a bit of escapism. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Associates have different thoughts and conflicting information. Observe facial expressions and body language to aid in communication. Be alert to the needs and expectations of others. Adapt to the trends that partners set to avoid friction. Tonight, your beloved is easier to understand. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Neatness and organization add to your contentment. You're a perfectionist today. Do all you can to relax and release stress. Keep your workload manageable. Make entries in a journal or correspond with old friends. Tonight, an old love remembers you. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Today allows you to relax and enjoy simple pleasures. A youthful and whimsical mood surrounds you. A new friend is affectionate and caring. The fine arts brighten leisure hours. Remotely attend a concert, the theater, or an art show. Tonight, relax. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Today ushers in a sentimental, emotional cycle. Keepsakes and memorabilia remind you of earlier times. Memories are a gift to remind you of how much you've grown. You will put the security and welfare of others as a top priority. Tonight, quiet at home. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Brace yourself for a breath of relief and release. Alert and alive, your mind relishes a challenge. You will no longer be hammered by dead weight and old issues. Tonight, A fresh, invigorating quality blows into your life like a fresh autumn breeze. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 2 stars. There are some conflicting voices voiced. Be patient and compromise. Good or not so good, there is an element of the unpredictable in financial matters. Set aside a little extra money for an unexpected expense or purchase. Tonight, look at repeating cycles where money is concerned. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Today favors an attitude of largesse. Blessings will be felt in the healing of old wounds and the opening of opportunities. Elevate your standards and expectations. This is the start of a time of great growth. Tonight, love and appreciation surround you. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Today emphasizes inner growth. Be introspective about your own motivations. Act on what feels comfortable and is supported by your own inner guidance. Agreements reached are mutually acceptable. Nature's beauty heals and uplifts you. Tonight, prophetic insights are especially revealing. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Today favors sales and negotiations. You will be more visible in your work and within organizations and groups. Present programs at gatherings. Be a leader. New events around you make an opening for your progress. Tonight, take time for art appreciation. You won't regret it. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. There's an accent on contracts and agreements. Success depends upon being realistic about what you can do. Preparation and the wise management of time are a must. Put business first and double-check details to assure your career stability. Tonight, catch up with an elderly relative. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Today's cycle creates a hectic pace. Working hours may change. Verify directions and schedules. You will be able to formulate goals. Ask others for help. Friends appreciate your gestures of kindness and goodwill. Tonight, not to be found. Nice time off. Born today, author Stephen King, 1947, comedian Bill Murray, 1950, filmmaker Ethan Coen, 1957.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.